investigating truth in a world of lies. You are listening to the John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
Thank you so much for joining us today in the Anomic Age. I'm your host, John Age. Got a great show for you today, jam-packed full of news and information. As you might expect, please check out AnomicAge.com if you haven't already done so. Share that link with your friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. We got a lot of new things and updates and so forth and so on with the site. We got a much better RSS news feed, or at least I think it is, probably because it's not malfunctioning and duplicating images, but that's just me. So we got that, which is nice and up and running quite aptly right about now. If you haven't already done so, sign up for the newsletter at the bottom, second to bottom or bottom right, I can't recall right now. Also got a nice new Patreon feed, so if you so desire, you can contribute weekly to the show, or monthly, or however you really choose. Nonetheless, Patreon feed, at least link there is right there on the page. As well, you can donate via PayPal. You can hit the PayPal button there and just do a one-time thing. That works for me. No problem whatsoever. Also, if you just want to go direct, paypal.me/anomicage. You can go directly to PayPal right there and just make a donation there. I implore you to do so. I always say this, and a lot of people think maybe I'm just exaggerating, but this show's not easy, cheap, and unimaginably cheap considering it's free right now. So I encourage you, make a donation via PayPal, make it a monthly subscription via Patreon, however you'd like to do it. Please do your part to make this show still happen. It's a lot of great guests. You can look at all the archives. Plenty of good information out there. Lots of ways to connect with other like-minded folks. You can look at the guests' information. And usually, I would say 9 times out of 10, there's a way to email or at least contact that guest. You know, so make yourselves feel not so alone. It's kind of what I, one of the helping elements that this show has brought into my own life. Nonetheless, not to belabor that point, we got a whole lot of information to get into today, and a great guest as well. So let's jump right into the fire, shall we? There we go. Katie Hill leaving now because of a double standard. She says in final House floor remarks, this is coming from the bastion of lies, CNN, the Communist News Network. This is coming out October 31st. There's video footage, too. You can see this person speaking if you desire. I'm good. Democratic Rep. Katie Hill of California, who announced her plans to resign from her congressional seat earlier this week, gave her final, so sad, speech on the floor of the House of Representatives on Thursday, where she apologized to her supporters, but said the forces that led her to leave Congress are larger than she is. Here we go. She's a communist. She's going to play the what? Victim card. That's right. Here we go. Here's quotes time. I will never shrink my responsibility for this sudden ending to my time here, Hill said. But I have to say, more because this is larger than me. She went on to say, I'm leaving now because of a double standard. I'm leaving because I no longer want to be used as a bargaining chip. I'm leaving. Love the repetition there. I'm leaving because I didn't want to be peddled by papers and blogs and websites used by shameless operatives. For the dirtiest gutter politics that I've ever seen. Have you seen these pictures there? Okay. Earlier this month, a conservative blog released intimate photos of Hill, alleging she and her husband had a separate relationship with an unnamed female companion staffer. I don't know what could really be alleged if you saw the photos at all. This lady's naked, brushing a staffer's hair. I don't know about you, but that seems to indicate a little bit of something silly going on, perhaps, to say it nicely. And then that was just one of the, I think that was the first photograph. She's naked, brushing the hair of a female staffer, and then went on to show her smoking a bong, again naked. And I think Breitbart covered this where they, I hate to say alleged because I couldn't see enough of the photo. Maybe there's more clear photos, but some sort of tattoo along her bikini line that seemed to look like a cross. It looked like an iron cross. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you, brain, for kicking in there. An iron cross. There you go. So scratch that Nazi cross and the clothes cross. Yeah, it's just an iron cross is what I've always thought of it as, but it's a very small sort of closed-in cross. Anyway, I couldn't even tell if that's what it was. I didn't really want to see any more, but it looked like some sort of just X. It looked more like an X to me. I don't know. But nonetheless, that was depicted in one of these illustrious photos when she wasn't naked, smoking weed, and naked brushing someone's hair. And nonetheless, it's what you would expect from communists. I mean, come on, get serious, folks. She's a congresswoman from California, so I'm not surprised. I'm kind of surprised anything's going on. I'm surprised that she's resigning. I'm surprised that there was any kind of backlash at all. Like, all that is surprising. Her antics, not surprising. I guess surprising that she would resign. I wouldn't expect the communists to do that. I would expect them just to stick it out and do the usual. I'm just doing what I do, doing my lifestyle, kind of bollocks. Anyway, what she is doing that's also very predictable is playing the victim card. I'm a victim. Oh yeah, this, here we go. I'll read a little bit more. I'm leaving because of a misogynistic culture that gleefully consumed my naked pictures. I don't think anybody consumed those pictures gleefully there. You're mistaken. Hill said Thursday, additionally calling out President Donald Trump for his treatment of women with no apparent consequences for his alleged actions. Thankfully, I've not seen any naked Trump pictures where he's brushing anyone's hair, smoking weed, or got any weird questionable tattoos. So, anyway, Communist News Network. Ground ball stuff. What would you expect from them? Anyway, let's read a little bit more. This is too interesting. The forces of revenge by a bitter, jealous man, cyber exploitation and sexual shaming that target our gender and a large segment of society that fears and hates powerful women have combined to push a young woman out of power and says that she doesn't belong here. Oh man, I'm starting to tear up. I'm trying to suck it in, trying to hold it back. Whew. I'm just going to leave it there. I can't keep reading this. It's hurting my feelings. This is from National File. This is coming out on 28th of October, 2019. Here's the headline. Drag queen accidentally flashes children at story hour. Huh. Accidentally. Here's a subheadline here. A drag queen appears to have flashed small children at a drag queen story hour event. Well, that's a shock. Have you noticed they're incrementally just moving that? I keep repeating the same thing. They're moving the old Overton windows a little bit more, shoving it on down. First, we got drag queen story hour in and of itself, which is a total sick abomination. Then we got children sitting on their lap. Oh, isn't that cute? Then we got children riding horsey on the drag queens. Then we got them. These people putting glitter all over their genitalia and getting hugs from the kids in that region. That's no big deal, you bigots. And now we've moved it all the way over. And think about the short time span this has occurred. This is like the last year. What, year and a half they've started this atrocity going on? And the general public's just sitting there wringing their hands, not doing much about it. So we've gone in that short span from the existence of Drag Queen Story Hour. Now, all the way over to this side of the spectrum, where we have these depraved individuals flashing children their genitalia at the story hour. Let's read a little bit more. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just a horrible bigot. Let's see. At yet another drag queen story hour event, a drag queen reportedly, it's not a report, there's a picture, flashed a group of children. Plenty of controversy has surrounded drag queen story time, which has taken place at a variety of venues around America. Those critical of these events consider them to be a waste of public resources or the fact that children are being exposed to something which has been historically associated with sexuality. I don't think anyone's saying it's a waste of resources. I think they're disgusted and appalled that children are going to these events. I don't know how many have been countlessly uncovered to be run by pedophiles, and the people in these events, the transgendered folk, have also been numerous times seen as, with the court evidence, pedophiles. So I think that's kind of the larger problem. I don't think it's really a funding problem here that people object to and are disgusted and revolted by. I think it's the exploitation of children in much the same fashion. You wouldn't take your kid to a strip show. You also wouldn't take your kid to a drag show. That's the problem. It's not a funding thing. It's a corruption of children. Delinquency of minors, I think the charge is. If you just want to go with that, if you don't want to go with the rubbing on the genitalia and riding horsey and hugs and kisses and all kinds of fun, we can just stick to the facts, can't we? Let's move on a little bit. This has been bothering me for a while as well. I've been kind of choosing a different topic for the last few episodes now to really just sort of talk about, because there's so much insanity and depravity occurring all the time. And this is something that I was thinking about in the car the other day driving. Had a little bit of downtime to drive, which for me is really good. I wish I could sort of record while I drive sometimes, but it probably wouldn't be a family show anymore. But I was just thinking about people and people's reactions to things. And I was really just thinking about it because I had looked at so much on social media lately. When it's people from the right and the left, and they're both just engaged in this vitriolic, you know, just garbage online. You call it character assassination, call it just being mean, whatever you want to say. But they get caught up in this name-calling and this vitriol garbage. And it's just reactionary. That's all it is. It's reactionary responses to stimuli, kind of piggybacking on what I was talking about last week when we rolled out all these different psychological theorists and how their theories, studies, and so forth have been implemented into the social engineering of our very own society, as well as others around the world. And I got to thinking about just that, like, why are people not only so seemingly, from my perspective, brain dead that they're not getting it, that they're not reacting to it in an appropriate manner, or even in the sense of those that I would say on the right or patriots or just people with a how to keep it clean. Even those folks, why are they just reacting to it in that very base level primal sense? And I think a lot of this goes back to that psychology element. It goes back to that conditioned training. It goes back to the learned helplessness and the groupthink and all the things we covered last week. And that's really one of those key elements that I want people to try to stop doing. Because they want you in that reptilian brain. They want you in that fight or flight response. They want you just reacting to their bunk. And that's something you don't have to do. So I think it's on a personal level for me, as well as just everyone else, I wish everyone would really start trying to not be reactionary. It's something that is definitely a skill like anything else. So it's something you might have to practice. You may have to put yourself in bad situations sometimes just so you can not react as they expect you to, or not react in that very primal, again, that reptilian brainstem brain, the fight or flight response portion of your show. That's not what you want to be reacting with when you're dealing with these communist scumbags online or in person or so forth. I mean, that being said, unless someone is attacking you, and then in which case, you might have to react accordingly. But even in those situations, I think most people in martial arts or fighting or boxing or anything, I mean, people that do that for a living train in that. And they're, in essence, doing exactly what I told everyone to do. They're training so that they're not stuck in that reptilian fight or flight response. And people that do boxing, MMA, and so forth, fighting styles, I mean, they're training on a regular basis. Yes, they're training the muscle memory, but they're also trained to overcome that fight or flight. They're training to react accordingly to the attack. So if they're getting attacked with punches or kicks, they're not going to run out of the ring. And likewise, they're not just going to start trying to throw haymakers either. They're going to react with blocks and react with counter punches and react in a very systematic manner. And in which case, they're not using that reptilian brain anymore. They're using that higher functioning neocortex. They're using the problem solving. They're using that rational brain. So if someone puts you in an armbar, you can figure out how to counter that, perhaps block that hold or become free of that hold and move on to defend yourself with a counter hold or a counter offense. So I think that's what people really need to work on. And I'm just speaking, I guess you want to call it the right, the patriotic movement, the people with the brain movement, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to pigeonhole yourself into. I'm not a names kind of guy. I hate the labels and all that garbage. All that does is just to serve to further divide people. So I would just want to say, hey, the people that want freedom, they want justice, they want the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all that stuff. Those people need to sort of follow a very similar playbook to what I was just talking about. They need to try to think, not in a reactionary sense, but perhaps a more offensive sense or in a defensive sense, and that you're not just like a ping pong paddle or like a, what's that, the pinball machine where you've just got your little flippers going out like this all the time. That's not good. And I want to say this, when you look at the communists, they, on the other hand, don't seem to be doing that. They don't seem to be playing this reactionary game. The sad thing is, the communists seem to be baiting the patriot, conservative, whatever group into that reactionary game. So I think people really need to sit there and think about that and think about what you're doing and when you're doing it. So when someone attacks you in that silly message board online or on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, you don't have to feed the fire. There's an old song by a punk band called No Use for a Name. We're not feeding the fire anymore. Yeah, that's something I think as a whole people should stop doing. So stop feeding the fire. Stop. You don't have to respond to every comment. You don't have to respond to every email. You don't have to respond to the messages on this mess. I always tell people that's a good thing with a phone. I mean, that was true of the old school 80s wall phone. And it was true of the 90s era caller ID phone. And it's true of the phone in 2019, whether it's your house phone or whether it's just your old cell phone. You don't have to respond. When someone calls, you don't have to pick it up. So if you're losing it and having a really bad day, if you're in traffic and you're thinking about getting home, and you get that phone call, you don't have to pick it up. You already know you're on like a 10, so there's no need to pick it up and be reactionary towards the person on the phone. Same thing at the house. So if you're at home, having a bad day, the dishes just broke, something happened with the hot water heater, the toilet's backing up, whatever, and the phone rings, don't answer it. Same holds true with your actions and reactions with the communists. You don't have to answer. They're just baiting you into this mess. And the communists are following a very clear playbook. If no one's figured it out, that Sal Alinsky playbook's working pretty darn well. The rules for radicals? Yeah, it's working pretty darn well. The Sal Alinsky, the Weather Underground, the Prairie Fire book, if you haven't checked that out, you can download it for free offline right now and read it. It's working pretty stinking well. So the communists have a very clear playbook in which they are following. If you look at what they're doing in the streets, and you look at what they're doing on social media, and you look at what they're doing in every avenue of what the communists are pulling, it's very systematic. It's nothing new. It's the same old thing you would expect them to do. Read the playbooks. It's as if whatever your favorite team is playing the opposing team, and you have all their playbooks. You've got every single one. It's the Washington Generals and the Harlem Globetrotters every time. You know what's going to happen. You know they're going to throw the bucket of water that's not water, it's just a bunch of cut-up paper. But the sad thing is, the Patriots, the Conservatives, the Rationalists, they are getting punked, and they are taking on the role. Remember the Stanford prison experiments I was talking about last week? They are taking on the role of the Washington Generals when they are, in fact, the Harlem Globetrotters. I hope I'm making sense here. I'm trying to distill this information down to like the lowest possible level to those people who might be able to grasp this but not grasp the higher psychological concepts. I don't know. I'm just trying to bring it down. We've hit the psychological concepts last week. We're talking Harlem Globetrotters and Washington Generals this week. So if you can figure out that you are the Washington Generals, you can actually flip the script and become the Harlem Globetrotters, people. So stop feeding the fire. Stop playing into their hands. Stop being reactionary. When you're reactionary, you're working in that primal, literal reptilian portion of your brain, little brain stem that controls stuff like your autonomic bodily functions, like your heart beating, your lungs respirating, your sweat, things like that. That's all reptilian brain. And what's also reptilian brain is that fight or flight response. So when you wake up at 3 a.m. and your house is on fire, you smell the fire, you feel the heat, your brain's going in that reptilian fight or flight response mode, which is very apropos during those settings. So you got to say, okay, it's go time. I got to get my family and get the heck out of the house. Let's go. That's great for those sort of situations, but not so great when you're getting baited into those situations by the communist scumbags on the street, on the social media, or on the internet in general. They're baiting you into going into that reactionary mode. They're going, you're a so-and-so and so-and-so. And vast majority of people are like, I'm not a so-and-so. I'm bleep, 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 bleep. All those expletives. You're doing that reactionary thing. Your brain's going old school when it needs to be new school. It needs to be a neocortex instead of reptilian. Because I get it. It works great for fight or flight when your house is on fire or when someone's trying to jump you on the street corner. Makes sense. Because your brain is getting that same endorphin rush, whether it's the fool online or the house is on fire. Your brain's still going fight or flight. Starts pumping cortisol. Starts pumping all kinds of adrenaline. Starts pumping all this stuff. Yeah, you feel the deep breath? Yeah. It's doing all that stuff. So you're getting all worked up and crazy over some nonsense. And a lot of these people aren't even real. I mean, you can look at these fools online and a lot of this is just bots. A lot of this isn't real people. So you're getting yourself worked up over nothing when you should be saying, hey, let's don't do it. Let's don't do that reactionary thinking. Let's just rational thinking it. Rational thought. Hey, this person's a bot. Why would I even associate? Why would I respond? This is silly. Hey, this person at the water cooler is talking all this trash. You've already heard the show before. You can't fix anybody, really. You can fix yourself. And you might be able to triage a few people that aren't 80% plus gone, but those people that are gone, let me stress it. You can pretty easily feel out and read people, or at least I can. And the more you avail yourselves of the truth, the quicker you'll be able to fix it and figure it out for yourself as well. And by fix it, I mean fix it internally in your brain to fixate, okay, this person's a complete communist. They're every single time going to toe that party line. Why bother? Let's just move on. We don't need to conversate. We don't need to talk about anything. No point. Let's just move on. You'll save your energy, save your life force for things that matter. Friends, family, loved ones, helping to reach out to other people. Those things are what matters. Doesn't do you any good to have that argument with the guy at work. Does no good to talk at the stuff at the water cooler that you know very well. Going back to that quote we talked about from The Matrix last week, most of these people are beyond help. They don't want to be unplugged. They're happy in The Matrix. You hitting them over the head with it and continually talking about it, it's not going to change their opinion. It's just going to cause consternation within yourself. So, think about it. Stay neocortex, not reptilian. Use that rational thought. The fight or flight's great when it's needed. Most of the time, not necessary. We got this big brain for a reason. We can use it to deduce, to note threats and stay away from them, to figure out who's already communist and fully gone versus, hey, this person really just doesn't know what's going on. Maybe we can help them by educating them and showing them what's really up. Nonetheless, just all food for thought. I'll stop things for right here, right now. And in just a mere matter of moments, we will talk with our guest, Mr. Cal Washington. We got a great conversation lined up. So please stick around for just a mere matter of seconds. We'll see you on the other side with our guests. All right, I am pleased to welcome into the Anomic Age today, Mr. Cal Washington. Cal was a construction contractor, musician, and family man turned law merchant scholar. Cal Washington is the co-founder of Empower. He found himself tangled in the legal system and was forced to learn the truth about how things are rather than how things appear or how things should be. Through his difficult journey, a path emerged. At the end of that path, he found himself on the other side, free of tyranny. This knowledge and experience came at great cost, but also with great blessing. Today, Cal is inspired to share that knowledge and experience with others so that what happened to one man won't happen to many. Welcome, Cal. Thank you so much for being on the program, sir.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Well, that's quite an intro to unpack. So what happened, I guess, is the operative question a lot of people are thinking after hearing that. What happened to get you into that journey and to find that blessing at the end of the rainbow, so to speak?
Well, it started with a divorce, and that's how I ended up in court. And, you know, it was a typical divorce, you know, with all the emotions and all that stuff. But when we got into the court arena, that's when things kind of didn't sit well with me. And it was, what was happening in there was different than what I thought it was in court because of TV, et cetera, or just my, you know, whatever, wherever I got my thoughts from, that's not what I was experiencing. So it was the start of the journey to try and figure out what was going on in there. And it took years and, you know, I got a lot of, you know, bruises and bumps to show for it. So that's how it started.
Well, I guess what did you find that was sort of contrary to what most people think? I've talked about this a little bit on another show where I think most people, if they like kind of like yourself, I guess, if they don't get involved or don't have some sort of reason to get involved with the legal system, they're kind of just outside of it and they think, okay, well, you know, I show up to jury duty if I have to and something like that. But if they're, you know, never have that entanglement, they're sort of on the outside looking in thinking everything must be great. It's just truth, justice, and the way, you know?
Exactly, because that's how it's portrayed. And that's, you know, all the symbols and the TV shows, etc., all give a certain impression of how it is in there. But it wasn't like that. And what happened was It was a subtle thing. It was more like I intuitively could see, sense something else was going on in there, and they weren't all that interested in what I had to say or what my ex-wife had to say. It was like, let's just get through this so that we can do our thing, right? And so I tried to put my finger on that, and you know, that's when you start asking questions, certain questions, and you start doing certain behaviors, then they push back. So, you know, it was a slow, long journey to get to the real truth of what was going on in there. Hmm.
So at least it sounds like you've become pretty fluent with the law, I guess, thanks to this experience.
Yeah, it's at the point where I'm left alone. I don't get much, if any, correspondence from them or interaction with them. So, I mean, when I first started, I tried to fight the system, and which is natural, because I found out about the legal name and all that stuff. And so, you know, you try those tactics that, you know, I'm not the person and I'm a flesh and blood man and all that stuff. All that happened was I would get arrested and that kind of thing. It wasn't until I learned commerce, which was probably a few years in, and then the first move I made in commerce, the judge ran out of the room. So then I went, ah, that's different. So then you start to search that and find out why the judge ran out of the room, and you know, you just start to explore that. Where everything else I tried, and I tried a lot of things, just ended up with more arrests, more court appearances, on and on and on, right? So.
And I take it this is in Canada, right? Or no?
Yeah, this is in Canada. So over 10 years, over a 10-year period, I learned a lot from different people. I took what seemed to work and then just disregarded the rest. So most of my experience was trial and error. I was willing to try anything because I was in not only a divorce court, which led to a child support type case. Mm-hmm. And then as I was learning, I figured out about the driving thing. So I drove without insurance for 2 years and, you know, rescinded my license. I did all the, you know, the Patriot type remedies.
Wow.
Yeah, I rescinded it. Yeah, I did it all. Yeah, there isn't anything I didn't try. And so, like I said, once I got to commerce, that's when the game changed. And they started running from me instead of me from them, because I spent a lot of years looking over my shoulder and, you know, a lot of mail. Hmm. You know, they kind of terrorize you with mail. And, you know, police being pulled over all the time. It was an oppressive sort of experience for a few years.
Wow. That's crazy. Well, if you could, like for the average listener that may not know a lot of this stuff, I mean, sort of, if you could take us through, I mean, one of the things that woke me up was looking at the signature line. I heard this on, I don't know, a show years ago, but the signature line of your check, it's not just a black line. It's actually part of a contract. And then that sort of led me down similar rabbit holes to, why is your name in all caps? And why do you have your birth certificate in all caps? And how does this, you know, it sort of really leads you down this road, but many people might not know that. So you seem to have some really firsthand experience with this. Like you said, you know, revoking your license and really going at these folks, kind of like most people. And most people just take this as an attack, and you're going, what the heck? I'm not a slave. You're not my demigod or what have you. So, I mean, if you could get into any of that.
Yeah. What drove me was my kids. I had five daughters at the time. I have another son now, but so what my motivation was my kids. And so I was willing to, take on Goliath, you know, so I did. And I just refused to allow them to interfere in my life and my kids' life in that way. So that was my motivation. And then it was just following paths, and the paths seemed to open up. I would get the next thing right when I needed it, that kind of thing. So I would start. I started with a guy who, you know, that's where I learned about the all caps name and a little bit about history. And but even that guy got arrested in my case, which led to what you would call a SWAT team at my house, and they beat my brother by mistake because he was visiting me, and almost to death. So I went through it. You know, they really hit me hard. And but like I said, it was learning about commerce and Lex Mercatoria, a law merchant, that was the key. When I took a seminar, the light bulbs were going off. I had epiphany after epiphany about every half an hour over a 2 or 3 day period, because I could see why what I did didn't work. Like, because I spent a lot of time reading the acts, and I would stay up till 2 and 3 in the morning reading and reading and reading, and I would come up with, you know, really good arguments, and but they ignored them all, and I was always ruled against, and I just like, well, I'm obviously beating you, and yeah, but you just won't, they won't, wouldn't let me win, right? So and then once I saw what they're really doing, I understood why I was losing, because I was going into dishonor. I was arguing, and I was fighting it rather than going into a contract negotiations with them. And this had to do with when I learned commerce, I had a pretty strong biblical background. I had some pretty good biblical concepts. And what I noticed was they were mirroring each other. So, like, commerce was mirroring biblical principles. So one of the verses in the Bible is, settle with your brother on the way to court. And that's what it's about. You have to actually negotiate and settle and try and do things in the private. Another thing in the Bible was, you go to your brother in private first, then you take two witnesses, then you go to the elders. But what we do is we just go, you know, bring in,
yeah, as storm much, into the court.
Yeah, exactly. So you go into dishonor, and that's the problem in spiritual sort of realms, right? You have to operate in a certain way and do things a certain way. There's a bit of legalism because of our situation here. So once I learned it, it made total sense, and I just became really good at it.
That's pretty amazing. I hope there's a class on this, because I feel like the average guy out there doesn't know anything that you know, and I or anyone else, and they're doing probably exactly what you were doing and everyone else is doing. They go in the courtroom and they're like, hey, and start pounding their fist, or at least metaphorically so, and saying, these are my rights, whereas the judge is probably going, like you said, we're just following this procedure to give you the illusion that you have these rights.
Yeah, and in particularly in the United States, there's a misunderstanding that people are in the Republic, and they are in one sense, but they've also agreed to be part of this corporation that has the same name. And that's where people kind of lose it. So there's people who think that the Constitution is dead because the courts are ignoring it, but it's not dead. It's just not applicable in that venue. And once you understand that, and it's when I say understand it, it doesn't mean agree with it. It means understand it. Like, acknowledge that that's what's going on. You will do a lot. I found that I did a lot better once I understood what was going on, whether I agreed with it or not, and it's not even what I thought it was or what I thought it should be. I dealt with what it is. And that's when things change. So you got to find out exactly what it is and open your mind a little bit. And don't fight because you think it's wrong, because it is wrong in a certain sense, but you have to deal with it as it is. I'm not sure if I'm making that clear, but so the United States is a corporation. just like Walmart. Identical, like they're registered in the same way. So you have to deal with it as it is, not what you think it is, because you will be doing the wrong procedure, and that's why you have the results that you get. And I went through this. So once I started treating the court like a corporation, and the province like a corporation, and the country that I'm in like a corporation, everything changed. Because I was seeing the real thing, and they can only deal in an illusion, like much like the movie The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz is only the wizard when the illusion is there. Mm-hmm. The minute you open the curtain, there's a different reality, and you can't go back to the, like after they saw the curtain, there's no way they would start to listen to that projection on the screen after that. You can't do it. So once you get to the reality of things, then the illusion stops, and that's when you get the reality, like your experience will change.
Yeah. Oftentimes kind of liken it to a magic show. You know, everybody else but the general public in our current society seems to know what's going on. The general public is still going, oh man, he's pulling that hanky out of his sleeve. Where'd it come from? You know, it's like, but the magician, the assistant, the lights, that, you know, everybody else knows it, but the general public's going, man, he really did have a rabbit in the hat. And it's like, man.
Exactly. And that's the key to this. There's levels of reality or levels of illusion. And the further out you can get away from the illusions, the more effect you're going to have in your life and those around you. So that's the best way I can put that. You need to find out as much of the actual reality as you can. And sometimes it's not that easy to take.
Yeah.
Because there's a part of us wants to believe in the illusion because it's safer or just comfortable, or that's what I was told. And it takes a little bit to break away from that for some people. Others can jump at it. But and so that's part of the problem too, is there's a lot of rhetoric out there. The phrase conspiracy theory is just rampant, and so as soon as people hear that phrase, their brain instantly goes into, that's nonsense. Mm-hmm. Don't pay attention to that. And so there's a program, it's a little bit of programming going on, but to the masses. And I was in it too, because when I got into court, I had an idea what court was, and that was the wake up. It's like, well, that's not how what's going on in here.
Yeah. It's not at all like TV.
It was more like, what's that?
I said, it's not at all like TV. It's not like any of those shows you see on TV where you go in and there's a reasonable discourse. It's all smoke and mirrors for the most part.
Exactly. There was an agenda, and because I was in court a lot, I learned a lot, because I was always called, my case was always called last, dead last, every time, because of the stuff I was saying or questions. So they always wanted to clear the courtroom. So I sat through, and you know, my summons would say 9 a.m. in the morning, but I wouldn't be actually heard until, you know, 3:30, and the court closes at 4.
Yeah.
So I sat through a lot of cases. I got to see a lot and a lot of different judges. But I learned a lot of their tricks by sitting there and watching. I went, okay, here comes trick number 4. Oh, he's doing the variation on that one. And you know, it came down to about 10 tricks that they do. It really wasn't that many. And then variations on them.
Really?
And once you know those, they have a hard time with you. Hmm.
That's fascinating. I always kind of look at a lot of the playbook is the same way, just within our general society. You know, you look at what I would term a lot of false flags, and look at a lot of the GMO rollout and all this propaganda in the media and on the the mainstream entertainment lines, and I'm always like, they're going to play this card now. Because you see it long enough, kind of like to your point, you know, just in general life, you keep seeing the same playbook again and again and again. And I'll like joke with my wife sometimes, like they're about to talk about this on the show, or, you know, this is the narrative they're going to push behind this false flag or behind this what have you. It's all like the same stinking playbook.
There is nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. And once you, like you said, if you've been in any, you know, for any length of time, you'll see the same thing. They just repeat, they repeat. They don't have anything new. Like there's no creativity. It's just do the same thing over and over. But for some reason it works because of the little bit of hypnosis or whatever is going on to fool the masses, right? So
yeah.
They keep doing it because it works. So, you know, in my opinion, the thing to do is to do what they do, only do it in a positive way. So part of what Empower wants to do is to get that group mind and have a positive message that we're all buying into instead of the negative one, you know, that there's a terrorist out there and that somebody's going to attack you and therefore we need to attack first. And, you know, that kind of mentality that is just prevalent in the world. And it's not that way. It's only that way because we believe it. And so we need to start believing a different story, and then we'll have that reality.
That's true. It's kind of funny you mentioned that. I spent a lot of time last episode just talking about all these psychological tricks that they use with the cognitive dissonance and the groupthink and the learned helplessness and all these little tricks. And I was talking, like, none of this stuff's new. They've been pulling this same playbook forever, but it's all very much a mental game. Kind of like you said, I mean, it's all in here. It's all the Matrix. So, you know, to use that old film anyway, but I mean, that's kind of where a lot of this begins and ends. If people can wake up and not want to be a party to this stuff, not want to say, all right, well, I'm off work, let me cut on the TV and grab a beer and sit there for 3 or 4 hours, go to sleep and rinse and repeat. I mean, to think outside the box and to get awake to many of the things like you have.
Yeah, well, it's even a step further is, you know, not buying in is one step, but we actually have to buy into something different. We actually have to use the mechanism that they're using, because the mechanism is real. It's just being used negatively because there's nobody doing anything positive. There's been a few that have shown up, like Jesus Christ, Gandhi. You know, there's been a few people that have tapped into that and been able to get a following that was more positive. But right now, there's just a lot of discord and separation on a lot of different topics, and that's on purpose to keep us from uniting in a positive way.
Oh yeah, that's the truth. I love how you sort of framed it, where you have to use that same method. You just have to use it in a sense of light rather than a sense of darkness. Kind of like using that energy against them, you know, like a sort of martial arts or a keto, you know. Wax on, wax off. Yeah, you know, I'm really oversimplifying, but you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying, and the whole notice of liability that we're doing on the four agendas: the smart meters, 5G, geoengineering, and forced vaccinations. That's what we're doing. We're using commerce, which is an Aikido move. It's a counter offer to their off, because what they're doing is offers in commerce.
Mm-hmm.
These are military deployments or military actions, but they're using commercial means to do it. So what's happening is the pharmaceutical companies are in the vaccinations, or the telecommunication are in the 5G. That's how they're deploying these methods of destruction. And so, because I've seen that in the court and in my life, I recognize it right away. It's like, oh, I see what they're doing. Like, it's not a I'm not guessing. I know it. I see it. Like it's
that's right.
Like I see the back of my hand, right? And so I can see what they're doing, and I know exactly what to do to counter it, because it's all it is a counter offer in contract law. Because they're putting an offer out, and because we're not answering in the correct way, they're taking it as a yes. I know what they're doing. And so all we have to do is say yes, but, and add a condition, and they're stuck with their own stuff. So it's like feeding them their own poison. And you know, the Bible talks about it, and a keto is the same thing, like where you take the aggressor's energy and you go with it, and then move it to where you want to move it, and they have to go, right? So
that's interesting. I really like how you're sort of laying this out in almost like planks. You know, you've got the 5G, the smart meters, and the vaccinations. I mean, these elements are just integral, I feel like, to the destruction of our society. And sadly, most of the general public's just, hey, when's the game coming on? I'm like, did you see those weird things they're putting up on the light poles? You know, that's not vitamin C dispensers. Like it's
going to
really be bad for your family, for your children. I mean, just like the vaccines thing, I was referred to it last week as this sort of cognitive dissonance where people are like, yeah, we know the vaccines are harming you, but man, they're free at CVS. Let's go get some for the kids. You know, I'm like, what the heck? Are you not putting the one and the two as three? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's because, yeah, again, it's that cognitive dissonance and that programming. And if you stay isolated even on one of those things, like I see them all, and I see them all working in, you know, in concert.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so one really won't function without the other. And so when you see it like that, it makes perfect sense to me. I can see the plan, and I, you know, I don't think they're going to carry it out. I think we're going to beat them. As a matter of fact, I already know we've already beaten them. It's just a matter of time before it, you know, the reality catches up with the real reality. Mm-hmm. So they are frantically trying to get this stuff out, and I just look at them like chickens with their heads cut off, you know, in the throes of death. So they would like to portray themselves otherwise, but I already know it's over. So, and it has to do with fulfilling certain things, doing things a certain way, and getting them into a contract.
So is this just a matter of the general public sort of going, taking to task these corporations or these political entities and saying, you know, no, we don't want smart meters in our houses in, you know, City X in Iowa, or no, we refuse this vaccination decree in New York City? Or, I mean, is that what we're getting at here?
Yeah, and it's exactly what we're getting at, but we don't have to have everybody in the world do it. There would be a critical mass, and I don't know what that number is, but if there's a critical mass that can do this, then the whole organism takes it on. And that's what they do. Like, if you can flash a certain idea to a certain amount of minds and they really buy in, like, just look at Hitler when he had his rallies.
Yeah, it's true.
And see, he didn't have internet or the technology that we have now. Otherwise, he would have had a lot more effect. But so he had to gather people together, blast whatever he was, you know, yelling at them into their minds, and they all bought in, right? And they made gestures and all that stuff. So that's why it worked. And so all he had to do was have that mass of people, and it affected the rest of Germany and the rest of Europe. And so, and they know this too. So, but now they can do it in a larger scale, like events like 9/11. They can get a lot of people to focus and be emotionally charged, and then get a message out. And that's when that conspiracy theory really nailed that one in there at that time. Mm-hmm. It's like, I remember George W. Bush saying, you know, don't follow any conspiracy theories.
Of course. And
he emphasized it, and that has really stuck in people's heads. And, you know, it's taken a while for people to come out, and not everybody has come out, because when those words are spoken, everybody instantly, oh, don't, you know, And it's on a subconscious level. So, and it's in the mass mind as well. So we just need to change that, and we can change it by a critical mass, like the 100th monkey syndrome, where...
Oh, you read my brain. I was about to say that.
Yeah, once a critical mass does a certain thing, then the rest of the don't even know why they're thinking it. It just becomes their new reality.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, might be down a bizarre rabbit hole, but I mean, I look at a lot of these big events. I mean, like 9/11, you could go back to JFK and all these other events, and I just sort of see them as a very well orchestrated, you know, like many levels, like a group sacrifice and a group. I'm trying to clean this up a little bit. A mind meld, you know, to get the entire population. I was mentioning this earlier. You know, the entire population saw those planes hit the buildings like incalculable times. I remember, like many Americans, I had the TV on for like a week and a half straight, and that's all they were showing. That's all they were showing. Just like the Kennedy footage of the brain getting blown out, and the you know, you could substitute a number of other incidences, and it's sort of. It's priming the pump. It's giving the people the cues. I was, you know, likening it to Pavlov's dog. You've got the dog. He's got the food. They're showing you the image. And whether you know it or not, it's triggering all those faculties in the brain and just sort of ingraining this learned helplessness, you know, to go back to what you were saying earlier. Like, okay, let's go get them. Let's arm the bombers. We're going to get them. And I'm like, going to get who? Like, the criminals are in the White House. They're not over there. Like, they are over there, but... You know?
Exactly. And so it's about taking that mechanism, not sort of fighting again, you know, don't fight it, because it is what it is. And it's, I think it's meant to be, because even in the Bible, it says, you know, don't make sure you assemble together. Like it tells you to do that. And, but there's supposed to be a positive message when you do that, and a positive, you know, mindset and all that stuff. And so the same thing will, same mechanism will work. But right now, what they've tried to do is separate, like just, you know, spend most of your time on your gadget, you know. It's just amazing how people are now living their relationships over a gadget, through technology, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it, but I think it's gone too far, and we're not assembling together in a positive way. All we're getting is whatever they're feeding us, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've touched on this before, to not give full detail, but I work in the cult of academia, or what I'll say, the cult of academia. And I see this on a first-hand basis daily, where you see people just doing this. They're just walking out to the road. They're just down and looking at the device. And they've got all these new laws where you have to stop for pedestrians, kind of like regardless of what the scenario. And I'm like, well, I guess because they're so brainwashed, they'll just walk into the bumper if you don't stop for them. But I mean, that's just one scenario. Like another one, which is always kind of silly to me, is there's like it's a college university campus, so there's attractive ladies everywhere, and the guys and the ladies both, everybody's just down doing this, like nobody's mingling. Nobody's trying to say, hey, would you like to go out, or would you like to go to a movie? It's no, it's just this. Just like, man.
I mean,
it
like
sort of
like
doesn't bode well for the future of, I don't know, population.
Yeah. I know, it's kind of crazy. So, but that said, we can use the technology to get a positive message out and change things, but we're just not actively thinking that way or doing anything about it. So part of what we're doing is we want to gather people together and learn positive things that are going to help us get out of this this craziness.
Yeah,
because I think it's something that can happen very quickly, and I think we can get out of this matrix, like this weird thing that we're in.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, the millennials do seem a little bit more, I guess, a little bit more awake to things like vaccinations and like 5G. I hope a little bit more. I don't know if that's accurate. That's totally anecdotal evidence, but a little bit more likely to question, well, what the heck's in this vaccine? I don't know.
Yeah, that one they are. The 5G one is a real they have carefully laid this out. And 5G should tell you something because there was a 4G and a 3G and a 2G and a 1G and a 0G. And technically there was a 2.7 and a 2.5, but for the general public, they have slowly, these numbers mean better.
Yeah.
And so when they got to five, everybody just thinks better. They don't even, it's not even a thought. But it's not better. They're moving into very dangerous frequencies, and they want to open it right up, And these are the same frequencies that cook your food in your microwave oven. And so, this is not a good thing. This is a full-on weapon. And they've demonstrated it in California. If you see any of the footage of what's happened there, you cannot think that this was a natural fire. It doesn't have any of the markings of a natural fire. There was definitely something going on technologically. So people have to start waking up. And one of the big wake-ups is, as we were doing our research, there was a guy who did testing in Dallas, New York, and Chicago. And he wasn't an anti 5G. I would say he was almost positive. He was going to test the phones, and so he had various phones, and he it came down to you have to be outside in line of sight of a repeater in order for you to be on the 5G network. And so he's thinking a lot of people are not going to be happy with that and not want to buy those phones because the phones are, I guess, are fairly expensive. And but he said, if you go into a coffee shop, even right outside a repeater, it drops. If you go around a corner, it drops. And so eventually, even the diehard tech type people that just love this kind of thing are going to go, what's going on? Like, why isn't this working? And then you got to start asking, well, what is it you're doing here now? So that's another thing that's going on.
Yeah, I saw this. I think it was about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, where a lot of the big sports stadiums are going to start rolling out the 5G. I know Madison Square Garden was one of them, but I know there was a few others as well that were like, we're going to have 5G this year. And I was thinking, man, that's bad. Because you've already
Yeah.
got these people in this big steel Faraday cage, and then you're going to be bombarding them with 5G.
And they've all got devices on them, every one of them. So, it's like a targeting. You're targeted. You put a target on your own body. And so yeah, this is where they can get, 60, 70,000 people all at once.
Yeah, I just cringe when I go out oftentimes because I'll see like girls will primarily have their cell phone in their back pocket or at the gym sometimes tucked into the sports bra, and the guys will have theirs strapped onto the hip or in the pocket. And I mean, you want to go out and tell everybody, hey, look into this, knock it off, but it becomes kind of like a diminishing returns because I'd have to speak to like a million people a week or something because it's seemingly everybody's got that in that spot, and I'm going, man, look into that. Look into the incidences of cancer in relation to where the phones are typically found. I mean, that's
Yeah.
not even saying anything to the people using it at the handheld when they got the brain tumor on this side or that side. I mean, that's just, I don't even know what that's going to be. Pelvic cancer, or obviously breast cancer, and
Well, and at least it will slow down the reproduction of our kind,
yeah.
and that's what this is, partly about. God created a being named Adam, and I'm going to spill the beans. He gave him dominion. And everybody thinks that was the first being here. It wasn't. And that's a clue. So that incensed those other beings, and they're still here. there was an interbreeding, which you'll read in Genesis 6 and the Book of Enoch, if you really want to get into it. And it is my strong opinion that the descendants of that interbreeding are the ones that are in control. Banking families, elite families, royal families, blue bloods, on and on and on. And so that's what this is about at a higher level. And the descendants of Adam have become, close to 7 billion. And if we do wake up and change the reality, there's very little they can do.
Yeah.
So they want to reduce the population before that happens, and it's happening, and it's the wake up is happening faster than their death plan. So, in my opinion, and so there's definitely a doom and gloom sort of scenario out there, but there's also a very positive scenario, and I believe that the positive one is even as we speak, it's accelerating, and I see a lot of good things about to happen.
Yeah, it's funny how you always sort of see the same names cropping up when you look at these, I hate to even call them elites because that's not what they are, but the ruling families, the Rothschilds, the usual suspect, the Camerons, the Rockefellers, I mean, those. And
damn.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought that for quite a bit. You sort of wonder where those bloodlines trace back to. Is it a demonic Nephilim type entity?
In my strong opinion, I would say yes. It goes back to those days, and they've got the genetics down where they're harder to detect. Because before, if you look at the fossil record, you could see number one, you could see giants and even colossal beings, and then you can see different humanoid figures with different skull configurations. And genetically, they were different. Somehow they were able to interbreed these things. I'm not a geneticist, and I'm not a doctor or anything.
Sure.
So the genome could have been close enough where, similar to what a horse and a donkey makes a mule, that kind of thing. So it could have been close enough that it was just a natural sort of, it could happen. And otherwise, there might have been some genetic modification going on. And even the Adam and Eve story, if you just look at it, God put Adam into a deep sleep, which sounds like anesthesia. And there was a cloning event. He took the rib and made Eve, right? That's actually a cloning event. In modern terms. So there's a lot that went on a long time ago. And of course, they've tried to hide everything. So you don't come to the truth. But in my opinion, if you start to hold that, that idea that the ones in control now descend from there, everything starts to make sense. Like, there's not a piece that doesn't fit that. Matter of fact, more pieces start to fit. And so trying to put a puzzle together without the actual picture on the box.
That's what it's like, absolutely.
But in my experience, I've been able to put quite a few pieces together, and as more people, even people that contest my theories, end up adding more pieces to it, because I go and research, and oh yeah, actually it does fit because of this, and this. And it's not like I'm forcing it, because I'm always open to the truth. I don't want to, I know everything. I'm not one of those kind of guys. I'm just not. I want to know what the real truth is, because that's how I've been able to get free, is by actually going at the truth, not what I think it is, or not what I wish it was, or whatever makes me anything. I want to know like more and more truth, because that's, Jesus said it best, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And that's what this is all about. So if we want to get free from this, and we're so trapped, we don't even know what it is. But I know we're trapped. And And I think that, you know, there's something out there, for lack of a better word, because I don't think it's like that, like as far as, you know, time, space, but it's, there is something different, and we are actually in a trapped position.
I didn't even really think we were, I didn't even think about getting into this at all, but I mean, since you mentioned it, I'm really interested in your take on this. Because we sort of talked about, you know, these entities prior to humans. What do you think about all these pre-humans, if you will, like the Homo neanderthalensis and erectus and the Australopithecines? Are these just sort of pre-Adamic peoples or weird animals?
The Bible story in Genesis can be taken as a recreation. Because he created the world and then it became void. Like it said, it was void, but it could be interpreted as became void. So a catastrophic event, who knows, but it had to be rebuilt. And we don't know the history because we're lied to so much. But as far as I understand, the current history that we're in, or the current version, was a rebuild not that long ago. So there are elements here that have been here for a long time, but the story in Genesis, I don't think, was that long ago. And so that was a recreation. And Adam, that species, that genome, that DNA strand, is fairly recent here. But the deal was, the contract was, Adam gets dominion. And God, the God of the Bible, like Yahweh, the creator, breathed into Adam. And that's a key as well. So God's essence is in that.
Yeah, that human genome.
Yes. And that's what they've been trying to breed into, get control of, whatever, because that is the primal originating being is here in a forgetful state. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah.
And they know it, and the being doesn't know it.
I understand. It's kind of like that magic show I was talking about. Everybody but the audience knows it's a show. Like the magician, the assistant, the lighting guy.
Exactly. But the audience is the main thing, and the audience is creating the reality. So unbeknownst to them.
Yeah.
That's why they want certain ideas in the mass mind. And it just creates more wars, more discord, more greed, more, you know, famine, more heartache. And but we can easily change our mind. Literally, like it's that quick. And the reality has to follow. And so they know that this is how it works, and they're deathly afraid that we're going to all of a sudden, oh, hang on, I don't have to think like this. I don't have to act like this. I don't have to be like this.
Yeah.
And it's over. Like, it's like the curtain goes back and you're like, this is a joke. And same thing with your analogy. Oh, rabbit out of the hat. Oh, well, the rabbit was already in the hat, you know, like,
it's like, it's the gilded cage of your own making. I always kind of think of it. It might be silly, but like the jail in Mayberry, where the key is right there, and all you got to do is reach your hand there. You got the key; you can just open and leave. Like, I think that's very representational for most people's existence, because they're just going, "All right, I got to do this, 65, dead at 75, I'm out." And I'm like, "No, it doesn't really have to be that way."
No, it doesn't. But we've been trained to think that way, and then you have to first become aware that there's a mechanism going on, and then change the programming. And it's difficult because you're inside something, and part of the programming is to not change my programming, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those kind of, you got to almost bootstrap yourself out.
Yeah, because it's very self-replicating. As long as you keep following the path, it'll keep on persisting and existing.
Yeah. And so, you know, part of my experience, not because I'm the smartest guy in the world, but, you know, I was more led along a path, and that path, I'm still on it. And one thing unfolds for the next thing. But part of that path was I was able to get, you know, relative freedom from the system. And I, you know, when I say relative, I mean, I'm not bothered by them at all. Like I don't, you know, it's to the point where I'm almost, these aren't the droids you're looking for from Star
yeah,
Wars.
Exactly.
It's like that. And I've had two experiences like that. And so I don't know if that's going to be consistent because I, you know, I'd have no way of knowing until I see it enough times. So, so that's where my experience is now. And because I know what I can see what I did to get there, I understand what that path looks like. I can see it from hindsight, and I'm still on the path, but at least what I've already accomplished or been through, that's what I'm trying to teach people so that they can get at least get on the path and then start you know, going that way to get out.
That's pretty interesting. Do you think it's just that, and I want to kind of get back to this because I was going to ask you this a long time ago, but do you think like they know, you know, kind of like that they live glasses, they see you, see them. And so now they're just going to kind of, all right, well, we can't foul up this guy's programming because he sees us. So let's just move on to lower hanging fruit. Is that
yes
your perception?
Yes. And it's, they know that I know that they know that I know.
Yeah.
And it's literally that long. Like you have to go through that those stages, because once you know, they're going to test you to see if you know.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've been tested, then now you know that they know. You see? Then you have to go through a stage where they know that you know that they know that you know.
Yeah.
Then they're like, okay, well that's it. The curtain's open. Like let's you know, we're better off just to leave that alone because he knows too much. He knows that we know that we know, you know, like
yeah.
It's literally that long of a they know you know a thing, and you've got to get through that. And in my opinion, it's going faster now than when I went through. Like everything's accelerating.
Oh yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah. So what took me 10 years probably now can be done, you know, I'm just guessing, but a lot faster. So you can get from start to finish in a way shorter period of time as far as your mind and everything and them understanding. And they see it coming. Like they've been seeing it coming. They've been seeing it growing. They know. Like they know how many people are for lack of a better word, attacking them in this way, where they're calling BS at a fundamental level, because they're getting it. It's the rest of us don't know how many of us we are. Like we just think, oh, I'm the only one doing this. No, there's a lot, and we're just not connected so that we understand that we're actually working in concert. We just don't know it. So, again, that's part of the reason why we want to form a larger worldwide group so that people can know, okay, that guy there. And, you know, we become aware of each other.
And I think that's a huge aspect of this whole thing. I mean, just me personally, you know, I sort of had an inkling, obviously, that there were other people, I hate, you know, like in the know or what have you. But like prior to this show, I was going, I must be the only crazy person here. Like I am the only guy that's filtering the bleep out of my water and eating organic and being a food Nazi. Like, put that down. You can't eat that. It's probably got lead in it. And yeah, I think that's part of the plan. It's part of the weaponization of our reality to keep everybody going, well, you must be the only guy in LA and you must be the only guy in Miami. And just that self-isolation and sort of that panopticon of self-policing where it's like, okay, well, I just better go along to get along. Let's go vaccinate the kids and get some fluoride, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So there are more than you think. And they're coming, you know, we're coming and more are waking up all the time as well. So it's a matter of being self-aware of that group of people. And we're going to try and create that so that you start to feel like you're part of something big and you can see it growing. And that strengthens you, and that you feel less isolated, because if you can get that kind of thing going, it will grow like it's a living organism, and it will just get bigger and stronger, right? Just like anything else here. So it's just nobody's doing that. There's still a lot of discord, even amongst the so-called activists. There's a lot of finger pointing and, you know, accusations. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Like,
I know.
Allow people their, because we, you know, I've been attacked quite a bit because, you know, people don't understand commerce and they just think it's all weird and you can't do that and you can't do this and can't do that. Yeah, in the reality that they taught you, that's how it is. Like, you can't have a tacit agreement contract. But I'm here to tell you, they do it all the time. And once I started doing it, that's how I got free. You know, so again, it's not what you think it is or with what you think it should be. Deal with what it is. Deal with the actual truth, the reality, and then try and find a higher reality, a higher truth all at the same time. Don't be satisfied with it. But commerce is very real. They use it all over the place, and like ancient commerce, and it's very prevalent here. It's the underlying system, and ancient. You know, we see evidence of bills of exchange or checks and loans on clay tablets going way, way back. Like, we think banking is modern. It's not. It's ancient.
Yeah, that's the truth. I always tell people those cuneiform tablets, that the earliest stuff was accounting records. They were just keeping track of who was owed what and who was due to get some troops visiting because they didn't pay enough, you know?
Exactly. So this has gone on for a very long time, and it's not modern. And once you understand that there are rules and customs and ways of doing things from ancient times that may not make sense in the way that they portrayed things, once you see it, then it does. But they've taught us something that is not quite the truth, and then that's how they've been able to get take advantage. That's why the banks have so much money, because they understand how bills of exchange work, and you know, they've got all these clever systems to monetize our signatures, and you know, the birth certificate, which is again a signature on a document from a parent, and so they've got these very elaborate, they're brilliant, I mean evil, but brilliant systems. And once you see it, it's very obvious that's what they're doing, and you have a say in that. Like, you can actually operate in it because it's law of contract. So it's just, if you deny that it exists, well, then you're going to be taken advantage of and there's nothing you can do about it. But if you wake up and like at least look at it, you will find that you can actually have a say in what happens. Like, they have to let you, because that's one of the rules. So if you don't, then they will just take it as agreement. And that's one of the rules. So it's one of those paradoxes. Like, if you don't participate, you're going to take advantage. I don't know.
Yeah,
but a lot of people.
I feel you. It's kind of like the fables of the vampires or the evil demonic entity, what have you, that's portrayed as a vampire, where the people always have to let them into the house. They'll stand outside the door until they say, "Oh yeah, come on in, get something to drink," and then, you know, unbeknownst to them, they just allowed the evil in, which is kind of the same with the birth certificate and the tax documents and the licensures and all this insanity. I mean, I kind of view it as a symbolic sacrifice, where you're signing away, I hate to get all dark, but just the life of your offspring. You know, here's your, yes, they're now a legal ward of the state, basically, that they can make money off of and sell derivatives for and all this. Just, insanity that most people are just going, I just want to get home to watch my program and go back to the office. I mean, but when you really unpack it, I mean, that's kind of the breadth of this darkness that a lot of people aren't seeing.
Yeah, and that and it's allowed them to amass great sums of what is called money. Now, money is an illusion, and we buy into it heavy. So because of these systems that and that they've taken our tacit agreement, they've amassed a large amount of this illusionary stuff called money, which allows them to spray stuff in the air, put stuff up, you know, that's going to microwave everybody, vaccination, like on and on and on. That's how they're funding all this. That's how, you know, that's where the money comes from. They've been able to amass it over generations. Like they've been slowly doing this. And the banking system, like the, you know, once you understand commerce, you know, the credit card thing is just incredible. Because originally you signed on a piece of paper. Well, that's a bill of exchange, and a bill of exchange is money. As soon as you have a piece of paper that has a date, a sum certain, somebody paying to somebody else, and a signature, it is the money. The piece of paper itself.
Yeah, created it, basically.
You just created it. Like the store does not send the piece of paper to Visa, or it used to be called ChargeX, but Visa, and then and then Visa sends money to you just deposit it in your account. And you don't think about, like, what happened there? My account just went up by the exact amount of that piece of paper. It's all done digitally now, but originally the piece of paper, my account just went up. But where did that money come from?
It's quite an illusion.
It's
the rabbit out of the hat again.
it was created. So from Visa's point of view, money just got created. And the illusion is, now I'm going to charge the person who created the money the exact same amount they just created plus interest for brokering the deal, for allowing this to go on. But you're allowed to do it anyway. That's the thing, because it's part of commerce. So they're using systems and customs of ancient commerce. They're getting us to do it, and they're taking advantage of it instead of us getting the advantage of it.
That's heavy.
But it is
true. It's spot on, yeah.
So once you understand this, then I'm very careful with what I sign. And, you know, because your signature can turn into money very quickly on a piece of paper. So, and now it's, you know, your digital imprint or, your PIN number, anything like that, can they can turn it into money very quickly. So that's how the banks have all the money all the time.
And the people just keep playing the game.
Yeah, and they, you know, people put their money in the bank. And the bank is the one, is the problem. So the banks always have all the money all the time. And it's just a big game. It's like a big monopoly game. And we have a certain perception of it, but there is another reality of it. And I liken it to a story where you have a, like, your 6-year-old child, and you're playing Monopoly, and your child is the banker, and your child ends up with Boardwalk, Park Place, and all those ones along that side with hotels on them. And then all of a sudden it's 10 o'clock at night, and you as the parent, well, it's time to go to bed. Well, you can't tell me what to do. You owe me money, and I have all this stuff, and I'm the banker, and I've got all these hotels. Like, who are you? So, see, inside the game that works, but outside there's a separate reality where, no, I'm the parent, off to bed. It's like that. We're stuck inside the game. We don't even see that we're in the game, and therefore we don't act appropriately.
It's kind of funny. It's all fake money anyway. The Incas had the coca beans and the Native Americans wampum belts and things like that, and we're sitting here playing with
paper. It's not even paper anymore. It's more digital. It's getting more and more digital.
Yeah, that's what still scares me a little bit. I don't like all the digital. I don't want to. It's become so convenient now that I'd say most commerce that I see is all just people swiping, just doing this mess, or now they chip and all this other mess. So.
Yeah, well, you can see where it's headed if you know their MO, and if it went totally digital, they'd be able to turn you off.
That's kind of what I think the end game is, sort of a China styled. You've been posting this. Well, we're just gonna have to cut your monies off. So.
Yeah, what are you gonna do if your money system doesn't work? Like if you're shut off, you're shut off.
Hope you've got a huge farm to support yourself.
Well, they're attacking all that too. So they know that.
I haven't seen it as much lately, but a few years ago, I kept seeing people being arrested for collecting rainwater, and it was primarily, I think, in Washington or Oregon, but I could be off on that. It's been a while.
No, they're definitely attacking the farmers everywhere. They want to control the food supply. Here we have, where I live, we have a really abundant salmon, wild salmon. Well, what they did is they put salmon farms from Norway right in the, they could have put it, like we have a large coast on the Pacific Ocean. Mm-hmm. No, they put it right in the narrowest channels where the wild fish come through to spawn. And they're all picking up diseases and they're dying in the rivers on the way to spawn. And they're not spawning. So they're trying to kill that food source. Because it's abundant. Yeah, it's abundant. And everybody's up in arms and they think, you know, and they should be. But, well, actually, most people are unaware of it. But even those that are aware of it don't see it the way I see it. They're trying to cut off a food source.
Yeah.
A natural food source that is very abundant. Like there's a lot of salmon, or there was. So they're trying to kill that off, and they're going to try and kill off everything, any way of sustaining yourself, so that once they do go to this digital thing, you have no recourse. You have to buy the food from them or Monsanto. But again, as you can see, Monsanto is under fire, and you know, things are coming apart faster than they're putting it together.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you mentioned the fish thing. A buddy of mine and I were talking on the way here today. And he didn't even realize this, but here in North Carolina, they just banned the fishing of flounder, which is like a big flat fish that, you know, is out here on the coast everywhere. And, you know, it's a heavily coastal, at least the coastal side of North Carolina, fishing is kind of a big deal. And he didn't even realize that. I was like, yep, they just, they banned all flounder. No matter if it's this big or enormous, you got to throw it back. So you can catch it, you just got to release it back.
Well, that might be because of the fishery is dwindling. Maybe, I don't know, but the sockeye. Well, we have quite a few species of salmon here, but it's like it's massive. You know, they even commercial fishing takes a big chunk out of it, but it still doesn't even dent it, right? But they definitely are trying to kill it.
It's sad. I wasn't even really aware of this because I haven't fished in probably decades, but I mean, when I was a kid, you didn't have to have a license just to go out there and throw a line in the water. You, my dad and I, my grandfather would go fishing and such. And I think it was probably about 15 years ago. Now you've got to have a license, you know, whether you're a 6-year-old kid or a 66-year-old man, you got a cane pole or a professional rig, you got to have a license to go out there and fish. And it's all the same. It's all just that incremental, let's stop them from having food sort of thing. But it's just, I'm like, man, yeah. I don't want to pay whatever it is. I don't even know, just to go throw a line in the water. It seems silly.
And a license, you know, people really, really should look that word up, because it's permission to do something that is otherwise illegal. So if you go and get a license, you're admitting that what you are about to do is illegal. or wrong in some way.
Yeah.
That's why I need a license to do it. And it's like, and the driving thing is the big, the biggest one. And, you know, look up the word registration too. When you register your car or register anything, the root word is regi. Just look it up. It's Latin. It means king. It's right in front of your face. So anything you register, you have just handed title to the king. That's how they can pull you over.
And that's to say nothing of the warrantless checkpoints and stuff we got going on.
Yeah, well, again, you have to see it in light of a different reality, and then it starts to make sense. And, you know, I'm not saying I know everything, but I know quite a bit up to, you know, where I am. I can't be anywhere else. And hopefully I'm going to have a different view of reality, you know, as I grow and I'll become stronger and freer. But right now I can definitely see the commerce and the methodology of what they're doing in a lot of areas of our lives, like a lot. It's really prevalent. Lex Mercatoria. Yeah. So it's using words. It's right in front of us. Once you see it, it's like they're giving you, like they're kind of telling you it's disguised, but it's right there. Like it's full disclosure, and they have to give full disclosure. So anytime there's not full disclosure, you can cancel the contract, and it's null and void ab initio, like right from the beginning. So keep that in mind too. If there's not full disclosure, the contract is null and void, but you got to actually do something about it. It doesn't just automatically happen. You have to declare it and do things. So there's ways out of all the things that they've done, because they're using a system that has rules. And once you know those rules, then you can see where they're breaking them or just using the rules in our ignorance. And either way, you can you have something to work with.
It's kind of funny you mentioned the judge storming out of the courtroom and just leaving at one point. I mean, do you think most of the judges are, I hate to say, like, in on it? Like, they know the tricks of the trade, and, like, they know this whole thing is a facade that they're just sort of duct taping together so the masses won't storm the castle, so to speak?
In my opinion, from where I was, like in Canada, I would say most of the judges know. I wouldn't say all. Mm-hmm. There was a few that, and you can tell by their body language and just the way they say things, like they're pretty theatrical, but sometimes you can't fake when they really don't know something. They can, you know, there's a certain look you get on your face, and it's hard to, you know, if you're a professional actor, you can do that, but these people aren't professional actors, they're judges, and, you know, they have, obviously take acting lessons, and trust me, they do, because they gotta come across as a certain way, but
yeah.
I would say most of the judges somehow have different information, and very few lawyers do, but some lawyers do know this stuff, but most of them don't. And so and it seems like there's a hierarchical knowledge pyramid or whatever. Like the higher up the ladder you go, the more is disclosed to you. But at the same time, you got to start participating in some very nasty things in order to get way up the ladder, which, you know, keeps you blackmailed in, and, you know, you keep your mouth shut.
Oh, yeah. It seems to be a very incremental system of blackmail and compromise at most of these, whether it be like political officials or judicial, they all seem to be.
Yeah, and that's why that pedophilia is so prevalent in that echelon of, that echelon. And so these people are very compromised and have made, you know, deals, oaths, you know, part of society, secret societies, that kind of thing. There's a lot of that going on as you move up the ladder for a judge. And it seemed like the older judges knew more than, or, the, you know, not age-wise, but the ones that have been longest or the ones that are higher up the pecking order knew more than the ones down below. So,
yeah.
But most of them knew exactly what I was talking about. And, you know, towards the end, it was just me and the judge speaking, and the the other attorney, like the opposing attorney, would just stand there. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Wow.
Yeah. That's and they would even crazy. Say so. Because I would try and put something in, and, well, I got to give it to them to see if, you know, they want to object, and they'd look at it, and we don't know what this is. Well, do you object? I guess not. So, you know. Yeah, it was that blatant. And so, you know, people that criticize, say, you know, I'm off my rocker with all this stuff, that, you know, it doesn't bother me because I know what I went through it.
Yeah, you've seen it from the inside.
It's not a theory. It's not something I went on the internet and just went, oh, I think it's like this. No, this was like trial and error. I got pepper sprayed, arrested, you know, through my whole trial and error period. So I know what doesn't work and I know what does work. It's just that simple. And like I said, I don't agree with Lex Mercatore. I don't think it's a wonderful thing, but it is what it is. And it has checks and balances in it. So technically, I think it's Luciferian, and it mirrors the biblical principles, but it's not the real thing. So, and it's based on money, right? And so I don't necessarily agree with it, but I use it, and to my advantage, or at least I don't allow it to take advantage of me, at least. And in the Bible, in Revelation 18, explains what to do to get out of this Babylonian system. And one of the things is take the cup they've been giving you, fill it double, and hand it back. So that's what using commerce does. You're actually taking what they've been giving you, add more to it, which is money, and hand it back. So which is an Aikido move.
Yeah. To your point, like what you were saying, they can't really, it's very biblical as well. They can't duplicate. All they can do is sort of imitate and give you these bizarre, sort of bizarro world creations of what God has given to them.
Yeah. And that's why they're stuck in, doing the same thing over and over, because they don't have that creativity. I really believe they don't have it. They don't have, they're a little bit emotionally bankrupt as well. Like, you know, I don't want to get into naming names, but, you know, once you're aware that this is a possibility that's going on, that there's a different genome out there that looks similar, you can start to notice certain ones that there's just something not quite right about that. And it really comes across with the emotions. If they smile or laugh or anything, it's very difficult for them to do that. Like, they just don't have that. It's not...
Yeah.
They don't have a sense of humor. They don't have a sense of love. Like, the love to them is just like ridiculous. They're very methodical and means to an end. Doesn't matter how many people die. They're a certain way, and it's not part of the original design. It was a choice made a long time ago, and it's been a glitch in the mate, like an anomaly, and I think God calls it an abomination. And as far as I can tell, their time is up, and that's why they're desperately trying to either buy more time, and or take the whole thing out.
That seems to be pretty accurate. It seems. From my perspective, they seem to be just trying to flip the whole board over and run away at this point in the game, because yeah, I totally agree. There's a lot of these folks that just seem very psychopathic, kind of like, you know, you've seen the interviews with the serial killers that sort of like they put on this guise as if they're injured or if they need help. And it's all just a facade. It's, you know, kind of like that old television show V from the 80s, where they're really... They're really alien entities, but they just look like the humans until they start having these emotional exchanges or actually trying to be human, and they just can't pull it off.
No, I'm not aware of that show, but that show would have been telling you something. So that's how it is. And you can
Yeah.
see them. Once you start looking for them, and I don't mean, I don't go out of my way to look for them, but you'll see them on TV and you just go, hey, there's something wrong there. Like, it's just not quite right. And you'll start to see it. And it's always people of position, and not always, because some of them are some of the real controllers are hidden in pretty benign places. But you'll see them, as far as politicians and top businessmen and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of memes of making the rounds a few weeks ago with Elizabeth Warren because she kept doing all this stuff to try to look like she was a normal person. She was like taking a flight at the airport, and then she had those, I can't recall what she was, something in her kitchen. Where she was like, oh, we're just hanging out being normal. And everybody's like, you're trying so hard. It's
Hard to be
obvious you're
normal.
not. Like, just stop, chill out, just go back to being fake, and we see you. You know, it's kind of silly.
If you're trying to be normal, then you're not,
Yeah, it always comes off very disingenuine, for sure. Well, how can folks find out more about what you're doing and more about your work?
Well, empowermovement.com is our website, and we're doing a subscription model as we kind of roll out worldwide, in order to help fund better technology, because we're expecting to be come under some fire. So we have to kind of stand alone. And with that, there'll be all kinds of teachings. We want to have experts, subject matter experts of all kinds, in order to teach people what they know and be able to interact with the people, like answer questions. So it's not a one-way information. You can actually interact and then interact with others around the world. So that's what we're about. At the same time, there's the four agendas that we're dealing with, and we're doing a notice of liability, which is a commercial document, which basically counter offers their offer for these weapons. And if they don't take the counter offer, we would start charging them a daily fee. So we're using money as the penalty, or the however you want to look at it.
Sure.
Money is, yeah, money is. So in Lex Mercatoria, like I explained, the charge cards, the pieces of paper that have somebody owes somebody money and a signature on it becomes the money. So I'll just leave it at that. So that's what we're going to be creating. And they have to honor it or not. And if they don't honor it, it's clear to me from, just what I've seen and some of the biblical texts, that the system will rot down if they don't honor it. Because we're actually taking the system to task. And we're using. Yeah, so we're testing the system, but we're using the weapons that they're putting up as the subject matter. So it's like a
I like it, yeah.
no-win situation for them.
Yeah, using their weapons against them. That's a good call. Well, thank you so much, Cal, for being on the program. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. I feel like we could talk all day, but I know you got stuff to do as well on that end. All right. I want to thank Cal Washington once again for being on the Anomic Age. Remember, as I close every show, you can't do everything, but you can absolutely do something. Empower yourselves and try to help your fellow men out there, fellow women, men, brethren, however you'd like to term it. You can't do everything, but you can certainly do something, so please do so. Until next time, be safe out there, and we will see you in the Anomic Age.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. I'm gonna go get some more money.